Good evening. It's good to be back with everyone this evening, and it's good to see all that are present. I want to encourage you all to take your Bibles open this evening and follow along with me as we study from God's Word. My aim, and I'm sure it's all of our aim this evening here, is to please God in our worship and study, and hopefully from our study this evening we'll be able to gain some lessons from God's Word. Every day in the news, we can read about tragedy around the world, in our own country, in our own neighborhood. It's not uncommon now. You turn the news on in the morning, and we hear that a police officer has been killed in the line of duty. Or because of a domestic quarrel, a senseless death has occurred. This afternoon, we were talking at lunch. Famous football player was killed last night in a senseless fender bender accident over heated words. And of course, if I were to say 9/11, we would all know what I was talking about, terrorism. Our country's had a history of tragedies such as the Titanic and other such things. We think about the tornadoes that came through back in 2011. Those were tragic for the South. There were people that were killed, that lost their lives. And also we think of tragedy as when we hear unexpectedly that a life has been cut short because of some incurable disease or some tragic event. And when these things occur, we often ask ourselves, and our friends will ask, why does God cause or why does God allow these things to happen? And I want to suggest to you, God did not cause these things to happen. In fact, God has set in place natural laws, and He's set in place good laws that are good for us. But when man decides that he's going to violate these laws, then the result is tragedy, and the result is death. And also in tragedy, we need to remember, we're all going to die one day. Whether it be by some tragic event or natural cause or just growing old, we're going to die. And those of us that knows what the Bible says, we know why death came into this world. It was because of man's sin. It was the penalty, the price to pay because man disobeyed God all the way back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And so for a few moments, I just want us to consider a few lessons that we can learn from tragedy, the unexpected. And I want to begin with the fact, life's fragile. All of us, at one time or another, will hear or hear of someone that has come down with some disease or been killed in an accident or something has cut their life short, and we'll say, how tragic. And it is. It's a tragedy. In James 4, James writes here, he expresses it, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. We know the reality of this life. Peter describes it in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. I think all of us, as we get older, we recognize the inevitable end that's coming our way. But you know what? In reality, you and I really have no idea what awaits us. We don't know if we're going to have the rest of this evening to live. We don't know if there's going to be a morning tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to have another day. The Proverbs writes, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Think about tragic events and disasters. And as I mentioned, the individual that was killed in the shooting last night, and those that have unexpectedly lost their life, what do you think was going through their minds? They expected everything to continue on just as normal. They had no idea about what was to happen. They were going about their daily life as any other normal day. You and I have no control over our days. The Ecclesiastic writer tells us in Ecclesiastes 8:8, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Consider what was said about the rich farmer in Luke 12. We have an example there as our Lord was teaching in the New Testament in the beginning of verse 16. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But notice what the Lord said. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I think when you think about it, there's many people that we know, and it could be us, that fall into these circumstances. We think everything's okay, and so I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. When in reality, we have no idea what awaits us. You know, we plan our days. We all have calendars at work. We're planning, putting schedules together. Teachers put a schedule together for the year. We plan our days. We plan our months. We plan our year. Just as if we're as sure as can be, we're going to be there. And yet, we never take any thought for how fragile our life is. And even if life comes tomorrow, the sun rises and the sun will set, we have no guarantee we'll be there to see it. As Christians, we need to realize our life depends upon the Lord's will. And we need to understand that one day, and the end will come. The Apostle Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15:24. The end will come. One day, God's going to send his son back. It could happen at any time. He's going to come back as a thief in the night. It'll be unannounced. So we have to learn how fragile the nature of our life is. And we need to learn that, because if we don't, I'm afraid, my friend, that our fragile life will catch us unprepared for the end. The next thing that we learn from tragedy and things that come along that are unexpected and catch us off guard is the fact that our time to deal with sin is limited. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 tells us all men have sinned. And Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin are death." Our sin separates us from God, and that's a hard lesson. We all like to think that God approves of everything we do, and that everything we do is pleasing to God. But when we sin, we are separated from God, and that's a hard lesson that we need to learn and we need to understand. You have to deal with your sin. And there's terrible consequences if we don't deal with sin. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. As John writes there, beginning in verse 11. He says, "And I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We have only a limited time here on earth to deal with things. And I tell you, the life that we live now, many of us are busy. And we deal with many things. We may be dealing with financial obligations. We deal with raising a family. We deal with going to work. There's just so much vying for our time. But we need to be mindful, no matter what we deal with and how much we have to deal with, there is one thing we can't get around. That one day we're going to deal with the Almighty God. We are going to stand before Him. And we're going to give an account for every work and for everything that we say, every deed and every work. We'll give an account to God. And we need to be mindful for that. And what will be tragic is to stand in judgment day knowing that we haven't obeyed God as He's instructed us to. Every day you and I ought to be thankful there is a remedy for sin. The last part of Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Yes, there is a remedy. The Lord commanded the apostles in Mark 16:15-16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Acts 2:38, Peter there told the brethren when they said, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." We must deal with our sin while we can. In Hebrews 13:3, there's a sobering thought there. We need to act before sin hardens our heart. The Hebrew writer there says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You ever wonder, when a tragedy happens, some great disaster, some calamity, whether it be close by or around the world, you ever wonder if those individuals had ever heard the gospel? And maybe on that day that tragedy occurred, in their past they had been thinking about God. They'd been thinking about Jesus. They'd been thinking about heaven and hell, and they had intended to do what was right. But because of the sin in their life and them being deceived, their hearts were hardened. And they failed to obey the gospel when they had an opportunity. That's tragedy. We must act before we become so calloused and we set our will against God, preventing us from obeying God. You've heard me say it before, those that have had me in Bible class, sin is so serious. And if you're disobedient, don't put it off, because all it does is we become a little bit more comforted and it becomes a little easier to salve our conscience with it. And you know what? We have a limited time to deal with it. In Hebrews 3:15, the writer goes on writing there, he says, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." The Hebrew writer right there is using the history of Israel of old. Think about Israel of old. Where God's chosen. God provided for them. God protected them. God took care of them. He sheltered them. Gave them what they needed. He delivered them. All the good that God did for them. And what did Israel do? Rather than turning to the spiritual things, they turned to the idols. They turned to the physical needs, to the things of this world. and they turned their back on God. And by doing that, there's a history there of a nation that endured tragedy. And what the Hebrew writer right here is telling us and warning you and I about, when you read that, he's saying, stop. Take heed to what happened to Israel of old. God was good to them. God would take care of them as long as they were obedient. He's saying, stop. Think about what happened to Israel and don't make the same mistake. First, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, we read there, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is this our attitude? Is this your attitude towards salvation? If it is, then you have a way, you have a remedy to deal with sin. And all I can encourage you to do tonight is deal with sin now. Because we have a limited time. But I tell you what else we need to think about when we think about our limited time to deal with sin. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. It's when a tragedy occurs or after death occurs, it's too late. It's too late. We all remember the account of the rich man of Lazarus over in Luke chapter 6. As we know, the rich man, he was clothed in purple, fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. In contrast to this certain man named Lazarus, who was a beggar. He would just beg for the crumbs from the rich man's table. His condition was terrible. And the beggar died, and we see that the beggar wound up in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and I've always said death is the great equalizer. And the rich man, Lazarus found himself in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man found himself in torment of hell, in the flames of fire. And notice what he says, beginning in verse 24. Rich man, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And here's what I want us to see in this passage. In verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. My friend, when the tragedy occurs, when death occurs, there is no more opportunity. Our destiny is set. The rich man, unlike many, had his opportunity and he missed it. How sad. And this is true whether we die in a tragedy or whether we die by natural means of old age. We have no excuse. We have the Word of God. And if we miss it, it's tragic. But we have no one to blame but ourselves. Now is the time that we need to prepare, and we need to be reminded that we have a limited time to deal with sin. And I'll tell you what's so sad about life, and I've already said this, is the fact that a life can be cut short by a tragic accident. It can be cut short by some incurable disease. It can be cut short by some natural means. And there's no more opportunity to obey the gospel. All of us probably could sit here, those of us that have been in the members, been part of the body here for some time. Think back over the years. How many individuals that you may have studied with, those that were your brothers and sisters in Christ that knew they needed to obey, And they may have planned to obey the gospel. I'll do it next week. I'll repent tomorrow. And all I can say, based on what we just read here, and thinking about the rich farmer, is that God told him, "Thou fool, and here the great gulf is fixed. There is no more opportunity." So let's keep in mind that we have a limited time to deal with sin. Thirdly, we need to recognize that we have limited time to serve God. If you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 25. We're all familiar with the parable of the talents. Beginning in verse 14, we read there, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents and went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.' Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went down and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" How many talents you have? How many talents do I have? How are you using your talents? When we read this here, there's a time of reckoning coming. There's a time that we're going to have to give an account for how we've used the talents and opportunities that God has granted us here and blessed us with here on this earth. Have we been faithful in what He's given us? Or will we find ourselves like the man with 1 talent, standing there on the day of judgment, unsuccessfully, making excuses to God for why we didn't do what He commanded us to do? Have you attempted to teach anyone else? This could be a coworker, be another family member, could be children. Have we done our part to forgive? Or do we think, you know, I was going to give forgiveness, but time was cut short and we didn't have that opportunity? Do you visit the sick? Have we sought to encourage or comfort our brothers and sisters in Christ? As John Michael spoke this morning about the value of the church and how precious it said to be to us and our brethren, encouraging one another. Have we attempted to restore a lost soul? How are we using our time? That's one thing that you'd probably be amazed if you sat down and wrote how your day went, how much time you spent doing this and that. Would God be pleased with how we're using our time? And you know, time's going to come to an end. And when the end comes, and it will, there'll be no better way to be found than to be faithfully devoted to serving God, that we may hear what those with the 5 talents and the 2 talents heard when he said, "Well done, thou faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Revelation 2:10 tells us, "Fear none of these things for which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. We're always thinking of, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We need to understand we have a limited time to serve God. And then finally, in the end, God's faithful will be blessed. A blessed thought is, in the life to come, there'll be no tragedy. There'll be no tragedy after death. We deal with tragedy each and every day of our life. But this tragedy will come to an end. It'll come to an end for all those who are faithful to God. There is victory for God's people. Not for the unfaithful. Not for the non-Christian. But for those who are faithfully using the talents that God has given him. Those who are serving God faithfully, who are devoted to God. There will be victory. Some familiar passage, and we read this morning, and I want to read it again this evening. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So if you're thinking about changing, and that one day you're going to do what's right, all the while you sit there and do nothing, I'm sorry, but you're going to be sadly mistaken that you're not going to receive the victory. Because the victory is going to come to those who are faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul writes there, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Are you preparing and planning to be with the Lord? And to be with God's people? Are you planning to be caught up in the air to be with God forever? And you can. But it won't be by making excuses for not doing the Lord's will. And it won't be by thinking God's word and commands, they don't apply to me. My friend, each and every one of us have to faithfully serve the Lord as the scriptures teach, if we're going to be blessed in the end and have the reward. John 14:1-3 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And there where I am, there ye may also be." But it won't be if we make excuses or fail to do God's word. We have to learn to trust, and we have to learn to depend upon God, and we have to faithfully serve God. And Another blessed thought that I think about when we think about tragedy is that we can protect ourselves against eternal tragedy. Think about the servant Job in the Old Testament. Remember, the devil came to God and he told God, the only reason that Job serves you is because you're so good to him and you bless him. And the Lord basically accepted that challenge. He told the devil, he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an opportunity to prove that. He said, you can do anything to Job that you want to do, with the exception of taking his life. And when we read the account of Job, and we look over there in the very first chapter, there are so many disasters and calamities that happened to Job. He lost everything he had. The devil essentially took a wealthy man and reduced him to a beggar. And look at how Job responded. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's a man that lost everything he had that would be so dear to him. And what did he do? He said, blessed be the Lord. And in all this, we're told Job sinned not, nor foolishly charged God. That needs to be our attitude. The way that tragedy affects us, or disaster affects us, depends upon us. It depends upon our attitude, how we approach it. Job here blessed the Lord. Are we hearing and learning the lessons that we see from tragedy? Do we see how fragile the nature of life is? Do you and I understand that we have a limited time to deal with sin? And do we understand that we have a limited time to serve God? And ultimately, if we're faithful with that, we'll receive our reward. There's victory to those who await the faithful, or those who are faithful. If you're still disobedient, you need to obey, and you need to obey now. You need to believe, you need to repent, you need to come confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and then you need to be baptized, having your sins forgiven and washed away. And if you're not faithfully serving the Lord, Christian, then you need to repent. You need to renew your covenant with God now. As the Apostle Paul said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to repent. You need to confess it. You need to pray to God for forgiveness of your sins. The greatest tragedy in life will be if you or I never do what God has instructed us to do in His Word. You and I have to decide how we're going to respond to that. So I encourage you this evening to come as we stand and sing.